Listener-supported St. Gabriel Catholic Radio AM 820 brings you The Catholic Doctors, discussing medicine in light of church teaching. And now, The Catholic Doctors with Dr. Michael Parker and Dr. Will Turek.
Welcome to The Catholic Doctors Show, a production of St. Gabriel Catholic Radio AM 820. This is your co-host, Dr. Michael Parker, in studio with Dr. Will Turek.
Hey.
The happy Dr. Will Turek.
I am exuberant. I there's not enough exclamation points on what we can say about how happy I am.
If you didn't know before, Dr. Turek is a native Clevelander, and the curse of championships has now been broken at the taping of this show.
It has, and I am just beside myself with joy. I really believe that Pope Francis has blessed us in this year of mercy. He took mercy on the city of Cleveland. And the Cuyahoga County and the surrounding areas in order to bring us victory.
Well, you know, I was up there that night they won. I was working, and as I was walking out the next morning, one of the nurses said, "I expect to see Jesus standing outside when we're done." Someone said it was the second coming of LeBron James that did it, and I said, "Well, I don't know that I'd go that far."
He's a good guy and all, but you know, I had a lot of bad feelings toward him when he went to Miami, but you know. The fact is that after watching Believe Land for the umpteenth time, I've come to the realization that, you know, he's just a kid from Akron, Ohio, just like the mob outside of his house heard him say, you know, so, you know.
Well, and it's what was good to see also was that it was just a whole new different attitude that just swept the entire city.
Right. Mighty Casey has not struck out.
No, not this time.
Yeah. And that was the depression that you know, reigned in Cleveland for years and years and years.
Well, you know, I just don't think they know how to act now. And it's like, what now?
No, I'll tell you what. I'll give you just a brief example, and then we can actually have a show. When we watched the game, I was with a friend of mine who has six sons. I had my four sons, and we all sat around the tube engrossed, totally enamored with this you know, the win that it was, but nervous as all get out that it was going to fail. That ultimately they would find a way to lose the fumble, the drive, the shot, the, you know, Joe Table and all that stuff came flooding back. So anyway. Yeah.
Well, that's understandably so. And we hate to burst anybody's bubbles who's still elated as we are with the win of the Cavaliers. But, you know, on this show, we've talked a number of different times about the Affordable Care Act that's been in effect now for, you know, it's been law now for multiple years.
Yeah.
And its effect on various aspects of what's going on, whether it's within OBGYN primary care, the effect that the imposition of the contraceptive mandate was having on Catholic organizations, a number of different things.
Read it so we can find out what's in it, you know?
Right.
I mean,
Today we're going to kind of go over that again, but we're going to bring in an expert now this time who's going to help us to understand where are we now that the Affordable Care Act is in place?
Right.
What are we looking forward to the future and what can be done about it?
I think it's a very timely topic because, I mean, obviously we're in a political season. We don't know what's going to happen with that, and we have no idea where this law is going to go.
We're also looking at the Supreme Court being changed by the new election and what that's going to do with any challenges to the Affordable Care Act that's before the court. What is our economy going to do that's going to allow this to continue on? So without further ado, let's bring in our guest, and that's Mr. Bill Todd, who is an attorney who specializes in healthcare policy and law. Bill, welcome to the Catholic Doctor Show.
Thank you, Doc.
So, Bill, the Affordable Care Act, I don't like to call it by its more colloquial name, has been in effect for almost 6 or 7 years now.
That's right, since 2009.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. And when the law went into place, we were told as we have to pass it to see it and see what's in it, and then we got to see what was in it and many of the things we didn't like what was in it. And now that we've started implementing the law, where are we with regards to implementation of the full law, and what's coming up next for us?
Well, you know, I tend to break down the Affordable Care Act into two basic pieces. The one piece was a fairly sizable expansion of the existing Medicaid program in the United States. The Medicaid program had offered medical services to the indigent up to a particular point on the federal poverty line. But with the advent of the Affordable Care Act, we about, I won't say doubled, it's about a third more patients that are currently in the Medicaid program than had been before with the expansion. And all they simply did there was they raised the eligibility threshold so that if you're up to a roughly 125% of the federal poverty line now, you can qualify for Medicaid, at least in most states. And Ohio being one, so let's just talk about Ohio, because as you may all recall, there were a number of states who did different things with the Medicaid piece. And the United States Supreme Court had said that they were permitted to do that. So if you've seen one Medicaid program in the U.S., you've seen one Medicaid program. They're all somewhat different.
Right.
But the Ohio program has grown dramatically as a result of the Affordable Care Act and added close to 1 million lives to the rolls of Medicaid. And in the short run, that's been a burden that was easy for Ohio to meet because the feds have been picking up about 90%+ of the tab to do that. Starting next year, we're going to see those percentages roll back, and now we're going to see a major budget impact in the state of Ohio from the expansion of the Medicaid program. So that's the one major branch of the Affordable Care Act. The other one was a decision that was made to go in and to try to, and I'll say tinker advisedly, because I think all they did was manage to tinker with the health insurance market for those people who could afford health insurance. And they did it in a number of different ways. Suffice it to say, they didn't do it correctly, and that's where the major problems have a result because of the interference with the natural market mechanisms for health insurance. We're now in a situation where it's very complex. Costs are skyrocketing, and there doesn't seem to be any good solution there. Let me give you a little bit of a background, and I think it's helpful to your listeners to know this. Historically, and when I say historically, I mean going back into the 20s and 30s when we first heard about health insurance, the reality is those programs were administered at a state level. They were considered to be state programs that were run by the local state Department of Insurance. And that goes back, again, all the way to the beginning. I think the first program that was developed was in the 30s at the Baylor University Medical Center. Health insurance then kind of picked up during the World War II era. But immediately afterwards, one of the things that really drove health insurance into the consciousness of America was the fact that at the close of World War II, Congress didn't get around to repealing the wage and price controls that had been enacted during the war, so that when employers were competing for good talent for the young men and women coming back from the service, one of the ways that they were able to compete was to offer good benefits. So we began to see the explosion of health insurance in the late 40s on into the early 50s to where we are today. But that's, I think, important to know is that because of the way it started, health insurance has been solely a creature of the states. So that Ohio is, I'll just give you an example. The Ohio health insurance market is actually pretty robust considering what some of the other states have. In the last 10 years or so, we've had roughly somewhere between 11 and 13 carriers offering different types of health insurance of different types in different markets. Some of them have concentrated more, for example, in northern Ohio or mm-hmm. southern Ohio. Mm-hmm. But we've had a lot of competition in the marketplace compared to other states. And that's allowed for Ohioans to get health insurance at a much more reasonable price than they would in some other states.
Bill, I just want to get back to your point about bringing people online with the Medicare, Medicaid system. The whole act itself was supposed to bring more enrollment of everybody. We were hearing 23 million or 43 million uninsured. How has that impacted the number of people who are left with insurance or uninsured now versus uninsured? And is it achieving the goal that we're all sold that we needed to pass this?
Actually, it is in part, and in part it's not. And ironically, what we've seen is a trade-off. Because of the way the expansion occurred with low-income individuals in Medicaid, you have more folks who are enrolled in that program. But what we're seeing as the price increases hit in the traditional private insurance market, more and more people who formerly had health insurance coverage either through their employer or could afford to buy it on their own no longer can.
Yeah.
because the market has just been totally disrupted by a very poorly designed and poorly executed package of reforms in that private health insurance market. So on balance, the numbers are probably up right now, but as this continuation of the process occurs and the prices continue to skyrocket and there's no relief in sight, I think we're going to ultimately wind up in a net position where there's going to be fewer insured than there were at the beginning of this whole process.
And is that because people are – it's so expensive. People are just choosing to take the penalty than to get the insurance.
That's absolutely right. And, you know, and one of the things that – you know, talk about package of reforms in the health insurance market that really has made things more difficult for people is what they did was decide for you what kind of insurance you must have. And it kind of runs counter to the entire concept of insurance. Most of us think of insurance as a way to kind of manage our risks. You know, for example, if we insure our car, we know that we're going to have liability coverage, we're going to have coverage against damage to our car, and we're going to pick the levels that we think we feel comfortable with, the deductibles that we want for ourselves, and that helps us factor into our budget what the number is going to be that we're going to spend for insurance, for our car insurance, right? But what they did in the health insurance market is decided that people were too stupid to make those decisions for themselves and said, you must have everything. You must have everything under the sun, and you must pay for everything under the sun. You have no options anymore. You have no flexibility. We're not going to allow you to make informed choices for yourself and for your family as to what level of insurance coverage you really want and need. And that's one of the things that's driving the price up so high, because the fundamental concept they started with in the private insurance market is the opposite of what most families would think about in terms of insurance. Again, it's something that you get to protect yourself against downside risk.
Right.
That's when you buy insurance, right? Yeah. But what they did in the Obamacare or Affordable Care Act is say, No. You can't make those choices prudently. We're going to force you to buy cradle-to-grave coverage, in effect a prepaid health plan. Everything imaginable is going to be covered under that health plan. And, of course, you're going to ultimately have to pay the freight on that. Now, it's that concept, by the way, that drove some of the other decisions that you mentioned earlier, Doc. And that's, like, for example, the mandate for contraceptive care. I mean, nobody in their right mind a few years ago would have thought that contraceptive coverage was part of health insurance.
Or even a health care, you know, a part of preventative health care.
That's correct. I mean, those are just simply decisions that people made with their own dollars out of their own pocket, how they wanted to do it. But because of the comprehensive nature of the care that's afforded under these policies, everything's covered now. And when it's covered, that means necessarily the prices are going to go up.
My brother, who's insurance, he's been a lobbyist in insurance for a number of years. I'll never forget this. He told me this in medical school. He said that we've lost sight of what insurance truly is, and that is insurance is it's a commodity. It's bought and sold. It's not something that you have a right to, but also that it is to insure yourself. It's a mechanism of almost gambling, of betting that you're going to get sick and you need somebody else to pay for it, and they're betting you're going to stay healthy and not pay for it and take your premiums and invest it. So, you know, we've lost sight of what, like you said, truly the true nature of what insurance is all about. You're listening to the Catholic Doctor Show, a production of St. Gabriel Catholic Radio, AM 820. And we're talking with Mr. Bill Todd about updates. He's the healthcare attorney, and we're talking to him about updates from Obamacare.
Now, Bill, my question is, there's three things that I think are that come to mind when I think about the Affordable Care Act, and one is these high deductibles that people ultimately can't afford, and so it's basically renders them without insurance. You know, I have plenty of friends who are on Obamacare plans, and they have a $6,000 deductible or $10,000 or something ridiculous. And
it doesn't matter what plan it is; they're all
right.
Almost
exactly.
All
right. Exactly.
Way.
The other thing is there was initially, and I don't know what the statistics are on this now, but there's such a low buy-in for young healthy people into the plan to offset all the unhealthy, you know, folks who are in the plan already. And then the other thing is, as the Affordable Care Act was enacted, they kept changing the structure. You know, there was they'd have the law, and then they're like, "Oh no, we didn't get that right. Let's rework this." Okay, it's like an etch-a-sketch. It's like, how exactly do these three things play into all this as we see it now?
Well, let's take them in reverse order, Dr. Will. I mean, the first one is they didn't really change the law. What they did was they delayed implementation of various provisions in the law. And the reason they did that is because at one point or another, they were trying to avoid the extreme political impact they knew would occur if they had imposed some of the more draconian penalties and provisions of the law as they had originally been scheduled. So it was really more of a delay in scheduling some of the things out. The deductible issue, yes. Well, the reason the deductible issue is such a problem is, again, they started from what I consider to be a public health concept when they designed the Obamacare policies. And what I mean by that is when you look at the structure of our, for example, our state Medicaid program, it's pretty much a cradle-to-grave coverage for individuals for all types of health care, you know, whether it's contraceptive coverage or what have you. But it is broad rather than deep. And when you translate that into the private market, what that means is the only way to make that kind of broad coverage available is by having high deductibles. And for, again, many people, that's not the choice they would make if they had the opportunity to make that choice. Many families, I believe, would be happy to self-insure up to a reasonable number, comfortable with their budget, and put on top of that a reasonably priced medical mutual policy that would cover hospitalizations, major illnesses, and so on, so that they knew they had coverage available in the event of a catastrophic illness or right. a problem. But instead, what we did was created this depth, or rather breadth of coverage rather than depth of coverage. And that's one of the reasons we're seeing that kind of misallocation of dollars mm-hmm. in the marketplace.
Sure.
I think you had another one that I missed. And that was
the low buy-in on young people, young healthy people.
Actually, that's a very, very, very clever thing that they did there, and that is that they changed the way that we have traditionally imposed health insurance premiums. Health insurance premiums over my lifetime, certainly, have been calculated partly on just on basic costs, and they've also been calculated on things such as health status and where you live, what you do, and so on, so that you had a correlation between the cost of your health insurance and the actual dollars that you were spending.
Use of it.
And the use of it. Because, you know, if you were someone who was a high-risk individual, let's take a smoker, for example. If you're a smoker and you had all these healthcare complications as a result of your bad behavior, then it was going to cost you more for health insurance. But what they did when they leveled the premiums out, they wanted to make sure that everybody was paying to take care of everybody else's behavior. So we're all sharing the pain, if you will. And that included, frankly, this has happened in my family, that included young people who had no need for more comprehensive coverage. My younger son, who's now 28, is in a job that he doesn't have good health care benefits. So what we did for him is we have purchased him a series of six-month policies, which for now, and I'll explain what I mean by that, are still available under the law. You can get a six-month policy, very reasonable price, comprehensive coverage, and that's all he needs for his particular circumstances. Well, of course, within the last couple of weeks, the government has said they want to put an end to those policies because they don't think people should be allowed to buy what they need.
Right.
They want you to buy what they want you to buy, not what you need or what you want or what your family needs or wants.
Right.
Uh-huh. Right. To that point, we're seeing, you know, we recently saw in the state of Ohio health an insurer leave the market here, and we're starting, you know, United Healthcare has already said that it's leaving the Affordable Care Act in the future. And are we going to see more insurance carriers leave the market? And what is that going to do to the cost and to the availability of insurance?
Well, I'm afraid, Doc, that the reform packages as they were structured have irretrievably broken the existing healthcare market as we've known it for the insurance market for the last 20 years or 30 years. And you're right. Many of the major carriers are looking at these Obamacare policies that are offered, for example, on the exchanges, and realize that there is no feasible way to price them so people can afford them, and two, so they cannot lose, just hundreds and hundreds of millions of dollars in offering those coverages. Let me give you another little anecdote in terms of breadth of coverage, and this is the kind of stuff that's causing these problems. Friend of mine's an insurance agent, and he was telling me a couple months ago about a young lady who's a daughter of a client. And mom says very proudly, well, my daughter's going to graduate from Lake Erie College, which you Cleveland people know.
Sure, yeah.
And she's going to have a degree in equestrian therapy. And my friend, the insurance agent, says, wow, that's very nice. So what's she going to do with a degree in degree in equestrian therapy? And mom says, well, you know, it's an essential health benefit under the Affordable Care Act. And wow. It is.
I was not aware of that.
As if a doctor writes a prescription for that kind of adjunctive therapy, arguably it's covered under the essential health benefit packages. So that's the kind of things that we're dealing with in trying to reform
well, now
the system.
Now I don't feel so bad about my daughter wanting to become a vet.
No, yeah, she's probably got a career. She's got to have a better career than a neurosurgeon.
Probably. But, wow. You know, to that point, and you brought this up several times, you know, that we've kind of taken a system where we could piecemeal it together and get what we needed. And for many Catholics who don't need coverage for contraception or abortion or sterilization, these type of things, we're still having to pay for it. But, you know, and we talked about this before the show, but what would have been the better alternative to providing coverage for these people who were uninsured and facing large insurance bills to the Affordable Care Act?
Well, one thing, Dr. Mike, is that they should have looked at this on a state-by-state basis. As I mentioned before, Ohio's had some robust competition in the health insurance market. I'll give you an example of a state that's the opposite, and that's South Carolina. South Carolina has one carrier. It's Palmetto Blue Cross and Blue Shield. It's either Palmetto Blue or nothing. And they could have done a couple things. One is they could have gone into those states where more competition was needed in the market and help leverage whatever local resources were available to create some competition in the market, and that would have driven down prices for health insurance. The second thing they could have done is actually sat back and talked to the people and say, what do you really want? What do you really need? Instead of imposing something from the Mount Olympus in D.C. as to what they think we need, what we think we want, and tell us that we have to do it. Because as much as you said, Dr. Mike, I think a lot of people would say, look, I can make a reasonable decision for myself and for my family as to the kind of insurance coverage I want, the kind of insurance coverage I need. I want flexibility. I want options. I want to be able to make sure my family's taken care of. But in a system that is driven centrally by the government, that doesn't happen. We lose the human element in the delivery of health care, and it's replaced by this sort of a little scary concept of population health management.
Mm-hmm.
And we just become numbers or cogs in the wheel rather than being patients for our doctors and patients in our hospitals.
Yeah, that's a topic for another show.
Well, Bill, with the time we have left, we have about a little over three minutes left. You know, with what the Affordable Care Act is now, what can we expect in the future? And this is a tall order. And what can we do that can make this workable?
Well, it's going to be a challenge. I mean, as I say, I think that the traditional markets have been really disrupted by what's happened. And unfortunately, as you all know, once politicians go in and quote-unquote solve a problem, they never get back to fixing it, even if they messed it up. And I think it's going to be very difficult to gather the attention of people in Washington to fix the markets in Washington and try to make things functional again. Mm-hmm. So people are going to have to begin to explore alternative ways to provide for insurance coverage. I've actually been working with some major employers to come together and build new types of self-insurance programs that allow them to take care of themselves and their families and the families of their workers.
CMF Curo is one that regularly advertises here on St. Gabriel, but I know there are other collectives that are out there as well that can do just this and be morally, you know, acceptable.
That's exactly right. And the reality is by large groups of people banding together and doing what they need to do in order to satisfy the needs of themselves and their families, you're going to be much more effective, much more focused, and I think you're going to wind up with a better product for the people who are fortunate enough to be able to participate in that kind of a network.
Well, Bill, we want to thank you for coming on the Catholic Doctor Show and talking about such a great topic. We know that the breadth of the Affordable Care Act is sometimes difficult to put into a 30-minute show, but you've given a lot of great information.
You've done a great job, actually.
If somebody wants to get, what would you say are reliable sources for our listeners who might want to learn more about what the Affordable Care Act has in store for them? Do you have anything for them?
You know, I really don't, and I'll tell you why. Because not only are we in a very unsettled political season, but I think that we're going to find that changes are going to be occurring so rapidly, it's going to be hard pressed to keep up with what's happening. You're just going to have to keep your ear to the ground and there's no really good sources out there, unfortunately. I wish there was, because there's an awful lot of people I know who could really appreciate that kind of advice.
Sure. Yeah. Well, once again, Bill, thanks for coming on the Catholic Doctor Show. You've been listening to the Catholic Doctor Show, a production of St. Gabriel Catholic Radio with Dr. Turk and Dr. Michael Parker, and we want to thank you for listening. Will, your thoughts on this?
I'm just stunned at the amount of people that come to me every single day and say, this is a disaster, and this has really wrecked my life, and really it's taking a personal toll on a lot of you know, people out there.
Well, the one thing I am always amazed to hear is somebody comes up to me and says to me, I can't get health insurance.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I sit there, what are you talking about? I thought this was all taken care of. We were all going to have insurance and everything else.
Huh?
But having gone through this with trying to find insurance for my daughter, who was in a difficult situation being in the convent and needing her own private insurance when she turned 16, and a number of other issues, it's not a solve. It's not a thing that we can solve.
No.
You know, it's like Mr. Todd said, you know, this is something that really is a personal choice and it's a personal decision. And the Catholic principles of subsidiarity and solidarity are really what needs to take precedence.
You bet.
Again, we want to thank you for listening to the Catholic Doctor Show, a production of St. Gabriel Catholic Radio, AM 820. Until next week, we hope your week is happy, healthy, and holy.
God bless.
The Catholic Doctors is a production of listener support at St. Gabriel Catholic Radio, AM 820. Archives of the Catholic Doctors with Dr. Michael Parker and Dr. Will Turek are available at stgabrielradio.com.